Fiat. December 28, 1938. How the echo is formed between creator and creature. How an act in the divine will is present everywhere. The king in the army. The maternity of the queen of heaven. Although my poor mind is under the nightmare of excruciating pains, unto feeling myself dying, I do what I can to follow the acts of the supreme volition, though with difficulty. But I seek it as my refuge, and to draw strength in this painful state in which I find myself. And my beloved Jesus, having compassion for me, all tenderness, told me, "Daughter of my will, courage, don't lose heart too much. Disheartenment makes you lose strength and makes you feel as if he who lives in you and loves you so much is far away from you. You must know that as the creature enters our will to lay down her will and take ours, so does our divine echo begin in her, which echoes in our divine being. And we, upon just hearing it, say, 'Who is it that has such virtue as to make the echo of her love, of her breathing, of her heartbeat resound in our supreme being?' Ah, it is a creature who, having recognized our will, has entered to live in it. May she be welcome. In order to requite her, we will make our echo heard in her, in such a way that we will breathe with one single breath. We will love with one love. We will palpitate with one heartbeat. We will feel that the creature lives life within us. We won't feel lonely. And she will feel that we live life in her. For she's in the company of her creator, who never leaves her alone. You must know that each act done in our will never ends. It is repeated constantly. And since my will is present everywhere, so is the act repeated in heaven, in the created things, and in all. Therefore, an act in my will surpasses everything, fills heaven and earth, and gives us such love and glory that all other works remain like many little drops before the sea. In fact, it is we ourselves glorifying and loving ourselves in the creature who envelops herself with her creator and operates together with him. Therefore, as many beautiful things as others may seem to do outside of our will, they can never please us, because they are not like us. They cannot spread everywhere. Their love is so small that it barely covers the work done, if it manages at all. Now, you must know that we love the creature very much. But even though we love her, we cannot tolerate having her with us indecent, filthy, without beauty, naked, or covered with miserable rags. It would not be worthy of our Supreme Majesty to have children who do not look like us and who are not somehow well dressed with the royal garments of our fiat. It would happen as to the king whose army and subjects are dressed poorly, covered with filth, and to be disgusting to look at. One is blind, one crippled, another deformed. Wouldn't it be a dishonor for this king to be surrounded by an army so miserable as to arouse pity? Shouldn't this king be condemned, for he doesn't take care of forming an army worthy of himself, in such a way that all should stand in admiration not only at the sight of the majesty of this king, but also at the order and beauty of the army, the blooming of the youth, and the way they are dressed. Would it not be an honor for the king to be surrounded by ministers and by an army pleasing to his sight? Now, our invincible love, with infinite wisdom, wanting to deal one-on-one with the creature, has disposed to give her our will, to embellish her with its light, to clothe her with its love, to sanctify her with its sanctity. See then how necessary it is for our will to reign in the creature, because it alone has the power to purify her and embellish her in such a way as to form our divine army. And we will feel honored to live with them and in them. They will be our children surrounding us, clothed with our royal garments, embellished with our likeness. Therefore, our will purifies, sanctifies, embellishes first, and then it admits them into our will to live together with us. More so since, as the creature enters into our will, our love is so great that our divine being pours its rain of love upon her. And in seeing her so loved by us, all run around her, angels and saints, in order to love her. The very creation exults with joy in seeing our will triumphant in that creature, and it pours more love upon her. Oh, how beautiful it is to see her, as we all love her. And she feels so grateful in seeing herself loved by all, that she too loves all. After this, I continued my round in the divine volition, and I arrived at the point of the birth of little Jesus, who was shivering with cold, and was crying and sobbing bitterly, looking at me with his eyes swollen with tears, asking me for help. And amid sobs and moans, he told me, "My good daughter, the lack of love from the creatures makes me cry bitterly. As I see myself unloved, I feel wounded, and it gives me such pain that I burst into tears. My love runs over each creature, covering them, hiding them, and I constitute myself life of love for each one. But, ungrateful, they don't even say an I love you to me. How am I not to cry? Therefore love me and calm my tears." Now, my daughter, listen to me and pay attention. I want to tell you a great surprise of our love, and I want you to let nothing escape you. I want to make known to you where the maternity of my celestial mother reached, what she did, how much it cost her, and still cost her. Now, you must know that the great queen was my mother, not only by conceiving me, by delivering me to the light, by nourishing me with her milk, and by giving me all the possible cares that I needed during my infancy. This was not enough, either to her maternal love or to my love as her son. Therefore, her maternal love ran into my mind, and if sorrowful thoughts were afflicting me, she laid her maternity in each of my thoughts, hiding them inside her love and kissing them. So, I felt my mind being hidden under her maternal wings, which never left me alone. Each one of my thoughts had my mama, who loved me and gave me all her maternal attentions. her maternity extended in each of my breaths, in each heartbeat of mine. And if my breath and heartbeat were suffocated by love and by sorrow, she would run with her maternity, so that I would not be suffocated by love, and to place her balm upon my pierced heart. If I looked, if I spoke, if I operated, if I walked, she ran to receive in her maternal love my gazes, my words, my works, my steps, invest in them with her maternal love, and hide in them inside her heart, operating as my mama. Even in the food she prepared for me, she would make her maternal love flow, and I, in eating it, could feel her maternity loving me. And then, how much more could I tell you of the display of maternity she made in my pains? There was not one pain, nor a drop of blood I shed, in which I did not feel my dear mama. And after operating as my mama, she would take my pains and my blood and would hide them inside her maternal heart to love them and continue her maternity. Who can tell you how much she loved me and how much I loved her? My love was such that in everything I did, I could not be without feeling her maternity together with me. I can say that she would run, even in my breathing, never to leave me alone. And I called her. Her maternity was for me a need, a relief, a support for my life down here. Now, my daughter, listen to another love surprise of your Jesus and of our celestial mama. Because in everything we did, between my mama and I, love found no hindrance. The love of one would run in the love of the other to form one single life. Now, wanting to do the same with creatures, how many hindrances, rejections, ingratitudes. But my love never stops. You must know that as my inseparable mama laid her maternity inside and outside of my humanity, so did I constitute her and confirm her mother of each thought of creature, of each breath, of each heartbeat, of each word. And I made her lay her maternity in their works, in their steps, and in all their pains. Her maternity runs everywhere. If creatures are in danger of falling into sin, she covers them with her maternity so that they may not fall. And if they have fallen, she leaves her maternity as help and defense to make them stand up again. Her maternity runs and extends over the souls who want to be good and holy, as if she found her Jesus in them. She operates as mother to their intellects. She guides their words. She covers them and hides them in her maternal love, so as to raise as many other Jesuses. Her maternity is displayed on the beds of the dying, and using the rights of authority of mother given by me, she says to me in such a tender tone that I cannot refuse her anything, "My son, I am mother, and they are my children. I must rescue them. If you don't grant this to me, my maternity would be compromised." And while saying this, she covers them with her love. She hides them with her maternity to rescue them. My love was such that I said to her, "Mother of mine, I want you to be mother of all. And what you have done for me, you will do for all creatures. Your maternity extends in all of their acts, in such a way that I will see them all covered and hidden inside your maternal love. My mama accepted, and it was confirmed that not only would she be the mother of all, but that she would invest each of their acts with her maternal love. This was one of the greatest graces I gave to all human generations. But how many sorrows does my mother not receive? They reached the point of not wanting to receive her maternity and of denying it. Therefore, the whole of heaven prays and anxiously awaits the divine will to be known and to reign. Then will the great queen do to the children of my will what she did for her Jesus, and her maternity will have life in her children. I will surrender my own place in her maternal heart to those who live in my will. She will raise them for me. She will guide their steps. She will hide them within her maternity and sanctity. Her maternal love and her sanctity will be seen, impressed in all their acts. They will be her true children, who will look like me in everything. Oh, how I would love for everyone to know that if they want to live in my will, they have a powerful queen and mother who will make up for whatever they lack. She will raise them on her maternal lap. And in everything they do, she will be together with them to shape their acts after her own. So much so that they will be known as the children raised, kept, and instructed by the love of the maternity of my mama. And these will be the children who will make her happy and will be her glory and her honor.